Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकीम्। ओम अज्ञात विरांदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपक कदामैहं ददाति सबदांतिकं। वंदेहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धौ दीनबन्धौ जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू टू दिस संडे प्रोग्राम। Like today, we have the program of the last day of the Bhagavad Gita course, which has been happening in the Vasant Vihar clubhouse for past 6 days. And also today, the assembled devotees are those who have been attending our Sunday program regularly for the past 3-4 months in Hiranandani Estate. Few months back, we had a similar course in Hiranandani Estate, in January or so. And after that, every Sunday, we have been having a program in one of the places there. But because of the rainy season going to start and some other reasons, the place where we are going to do, where we were doing the program, it was not available for us since this time. And we did a course here, and we actually thank the Lokpuram Federation people for giving us this place. Otherwise, we would have been completely shelterless where we could get together and speak about Krishna. Somehow, it is Krishna's arrangement that at the last moment, this place got finalized. So, where both the devotees who attended the Hiranandani course, that is, course which was held in Hiranandani in January, and also been attending the regular Sunday program, they as well as the Vasant Vihar devotees, they all can get together every Sunday here. They have an opportunity in the same place. Though there is some inconvenience because of less number of chairs, so old people may be finding it difficult. But the next time everything will be nice because some more chairs will be coming and things will be nice. And we can use this terrace or we can use this the hall which is down. So find it a convenience, we'll arrange a program here. So we greet you all to this a new place that is Lokpuram Federation Hall or a clubhouse. So it's a nice, wonderful atmosphere here. As soon as I came here, I saw many wonderful trees. It's a very unique place in Bombay. You don't find such a place in Bombay. They have about 5,000 residents and then 900 trees around. Really, you find it quite peaceful. So it's a very nice place to talk about Krishna and speak on Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam was spoken in Naimisharanya. Naimisharanya was big jungle. So where trees are and all are around, it will be a nice place where we can hear about Krishna. So for all these months in Hiranandani, every Sunday we used to discuss words by words of Bhagavad Gita. So this words by words discussion of Bhagavad Gita was going on. For today, because it is the last day of the Vasant Vihar course, we will not be doing that verse to verse. That will be continuing next Sunday onwards. So we are presently in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the end of the third chapter, when we are doing in the Hiranandani estate, the Sri Sharanam terrace flat we were doing. But for the convenience of the people who have done the course in Vasant Vihar, who have just joined us newly, so we'll be just having a recap of the first and second chapter also, third chapter, what we have done. So those people who have already done the first and second chapters or the third chapters in the previous meetings, they just had to bear with two or three classes so that the new people who have joined, they also feel comfortable instead of just starting with the whole third chapter with a bang. So as you all know that after this Sunday, the next Sunday, of course, we are not there. We are going to Mayapur Yatra. We will not be here. So next Sunday, that is on 8th of June, from 8th June onwards, every Sunday we will be meeting here for discussion on verse by verse on Bhagavad Gita. Of course, first and second chapter will be just having an overview kind of thing and then go into the verse by verse. So many of the people in the feedback form also written that they would like to have verse to verse rendering of the Bhagavad Gita and understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. So today we'll be discussing the last day of the course, that is the subject of practical application of Bhagavad Gita in our lives. So it is very important to hear what are we supposed to do after hearing Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asesitaha yajnatva buhyanya jnatavyam avashishyate. He says, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I have spoken, my dear Arjuna, both jnana and vijnana. So this Bhagavad Gita is not just a book of knowledge. It is applied knowledge. It is practical knowledge. Like Krishna uses this word vijnana. Vijnana means science. Science means something which is practical. So if Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge attained by Bhagavad Gita, if it is not practically applied in our life, then it becomes useless. Like in a college, there is arts faculty as well as a science faculty. So science faculty students, they have to stay more longer period of time in the college. Why? Why they have to stay longer period? Because they have practicals. Whatever they have studied in the theory classes, they have to go in the practicals in the laboratory and do those practicals. Then only they will understand the subject better. In the same way, Krishna says this Bhagavad Gita is not just a book of knowledge. It is not just jnana. It is vijnana. Vijnana means science. It has to be applied practically. Many of the people, they have this contention, saying that, oh, Bhagavad Gita is not for me, because this Bhagavad Gita may be meant for only renunciates. Some people who are there, given up their responsibilities, or old people who don't have any responsibility, retired, or some sadhus staying in the mud. It is not for me because I am having so many responsibilities. And one other kind of contention is, oh, Bhagavad Gita is not practical in this 21st century. Because this Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years back. Maybe it was practical then. It is not practical now. And now some people say, this Bhagavad Gita is actually just for discussion sake only. It is just a philosophy where we discuss and there is no practical application for it. But all the three contentions are wrong. The first thing about this Bhagavad Gita is meant for people who are retired and have got nothing to do. It is for them. It is for some renunciates. Thinking like that, it is wrong. Because if you see, the first student of Bhagavad Gita is Arjuna. And who is Arjuna? Arjuna is a householder. He had four wives. And not only that, Arjuna is a king. The most responsible person in the whole country. So to think that I will read Bhagavad Gita after I finish all my responsibilities is a wrong notion. Because Arjuna was the first student of Bhagavad Gita and he was the most responsible person. When compared to Arjuna's responsibility, our responsibility is nothing. So Bhagavad Gita is for us. And now people say, Bhagavad Gita was, it was 5,000 years old. At that time, those were okay. But now, it is not practical. It is also a wrong argument because you find Arjuna, when he went to fight the war, he saw all his own relatives and all the symptoms of stress appeared in him. His hands were shaking. His whole body was shivering. And practically started crying. The Gandhi was started slipping from his hand. All the symptoms of stress appeared in the body of Arjuna. Now, when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna came out of this confusion and stress and he started fighting. And Arjuna won the war of Mahabharata because he heard the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. Now, this life is also like a big war. Actually, when the happy times are there in our life, that is not the test of our life. When some problems come, miseries come, troubles come, how you are going to face those situations, that is the testing time. Like children, when they go to school, every day it's so wonderful to be in school. But the test is, the real test is when the examinations come. In the same way, the test of life is when problems come. So Arjuna, when he faced in the war, then he was not able to face. Actually, before he was in the war, he was set for the war. He took the Gandiva in his hand, took the bow and arrow, and is about to shoot. Then he told Arjuna, Krishna, I want to see who is there to fight. When he really saw who are there to fight, then he was really, he got completely stressed out. So there are so many people talking about stress management. So everybody is in stress these days. So how to get out of stress? This is the best book. And practically when we apply this Bhagavad Gita in our life, then we can actually become like Arjuna. Stand up in all kinds of confusing situations and then fight. This Bhagavad Gita is also, this life is also like a big fight. It's like a big war. So one can win the war of life if he accepts Bhagavad Gita in his life. It is practical in all time, place and circumstances. It is not that Bhagavad Gita is practical only about a few thousand years back. Now it is not practical. No. There are thousands of people who are applying these principles of Bhagavad Gita in their life and they are happy. Now, some other argument people would say that Bhagavad Gita is actually just for discussion's sake only. Not for really applying in our life. No. There are so many people who talk big philosophies based on Bhagavad Gita, but they really don't apply the principles of Bhagavad Gita in our life. Like Krishna says, this Bhagavad Gita is a science, so the principles of Bhagavad Gita has to be applied in one's life. It is a science. Srila Prabhupada, whenever he used to go in a lecture in any colleges, he used to proudly say, the science of Krishna consciousness. Like people would say that this Krishna consciousness and Bhagavad Gita is some religion. Actually, it is not a religion. Religion may vary from time, place and circumstance. Okay, somebody may say, this is our religion. Oh no, this is our religion. Oh, this is our religion. So there may be differences in religion. But the science is the same for everybody. Like 2 plus 2 is 4, that is true for a Hindu. 2 plus 2 is 4 is true for a Muslim. 2 plus 2 is 4 is true for a Christian. You name anybody, It is same. Whether Hindu, Muslim, or anybody, they have to, the principles of religion, the principles of science are same. In the same way, Bhagavad Gita is not a book of religion, but is a book of spiritual science. There is a distinct difference between spirituality and religion. Spirituality is science and religion is a sentiment. So Bhagavad Gita is not a book of, is not a religious book. It is actually a book on spiritual science, which is true for everybody in all time, in all circumstances. That is to be understood of this Bhagavad Gita. Now, when people say, okay, we have been hearing about Bhagavad Gita course, 6 days we heard about so many things. Now tell me, what is to be done and what is not to be done? Practical application means always two principles. One means do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. Rule means those things which you are supposed to do. Regulation means those things which you are not supposed to do. You go anywhere in any setup, you always have these two principles. Those things which are supposed to be done, those things which are not supposed to be done. Rules and regulations always are found in all places and circumstances. You go to your school, they have some rules and regulations. In the government office, there is rules and regulations. Any setup, there is rules and regulations. In the same way, Bhagavad Gita also gives us a set of rules and regulations. There are certain things which are supposed to be followed. Now today we are going to discuss about 5 things which we are supposed to follow. At the same time, we'll discuss about 4 things which we are not supposed to do. 5 things which are supposed to do and 4 things which are not supposed to do. And the discussion about those 5 things which we are supposed to do is based on conversation between Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now here we bring some understanding about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who appeared in the age of Kali to teach us devotion. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave a lecture on how to perform devotion. He just gave a lecture. Bhagavad Gita is a lecture by Krishna. But in the age of Kali, for anybody practically, one can learn better only when they see practically somebody doing something. Like, for example, if I give a lecture on how to make halwa for 1 hour and then ask you to go in the kitchen, make halwa and come, then you will not be able to make anything. But if I practically take you to the kitchen and then show you, this is how the halwa has to be made. You have to fry this rava like this. You have to put like this. You have to put this much of water, this much of sugar. And if you show once, that's enough for you to learn. In the same way, devotion is also like that. No amount of big lectures would actually make people understand what is devotion. But somebody exemplifies himself as a perfect devotee and then conducts his life as a devotee, then he can understand what is devotion. Always what you see is best understood. That is why Krishna, when he came, he just gave a lecture of Bhagavad Gita and then went. Then he saw nobody is reading Bhagavad Gita. If at all somebody is reading, they are misunderstanding. Even though somebody is understanding, they are not following. That is why Krishna, he came 500 years back, approximately 500 years back, he came to this world. He appeared in Navadvip. He appeared in Mayapur. About 3 hours north of Calcutta, there is one place called Mayapur. There Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and then showed us how to apply Bhagavad Gita in the life. He showed us how to perform devotional service, how to love Krishna. Practically, if you see the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was chanting the names of Krishna, constantly tears were flowing through his eyes. Actually, if somebody loves somebody, you cannot separate tears and love. Sri Chaitanya showed us actually what is devotion. Manmana bhavat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you think about me, you chant my names, become my devotee. But how to do this?
was not shown by Krishna because he's God. So the same Krishna, he came as a devotee, disguised as a devotee, and then showed us how to perform devotion. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Sanatana Goswami that the practical of application of Bhagavad Gita can be summarized in 5 principles. If somebody does these 5 principles in their life, accepts these 5 principles in their life, then his life will be successful. The first one is Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees. Number 2 is chanting the names of Krishna. Number 3 is reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Number 4, residing in a holy place. Number 5 is worshipping the deity form of the Lord, worshipping the Lord. So these are the 5 Mahasadhanas. So we'll try to discuss each one practically. How, as a person in Bombay, doing his own business or doing some job, or as a housewife, or as a student, or as anybody, how can these principles we can apply practically in this age, in this life? How the same back, I met one press reporter from Times of India. He had come for Rath Yatra, to cover our Rath Yatra festival. So I still remember, after about half an hour discussion, then we had another 1 hour casual discussion, not as an interview and all. Then at the end, he made a beautiful comment. The press reporters, they know how to pinpoint a specific thing, which is a uniqueness of a thing. Then he told me one thing. He told this point that Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he told that this person, this old man, he made the Vedic principles practical in this age. And then he appreciated Srila Prabhupada's movement. And later on, I took his card, this one, and I saw his name was Mr. Varghese. He was a Christian. So I was so happy to hear that how nicely has pinpointed one very important aspect. The age-old Vedic principles, which we all say, oh, the years ago, Veda, something old and all, and then forget about it. Then this person told, the same age-old Vedic principles, Srila Prabhupada made it practical. That even anybody, even in this age, with so much of advancement, so much of technology, in spite of all these things, tensions, so much of distractions, people can perform the same age-old Vedic principles now also. This is practically proved by Prabhupada. So let us see how this can be practically applied. The first principle which we are going to discuss is Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha means association with devotees. Like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kahe. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. All the scriptures are telling, just perform devotional service. Or just associate with devotees. 3 times it has been told. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kahe. Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha. Even a little bit of Sadhu Sangha. Lava means in Sanskrit 1/16th part of a second. Even that was the calculation in Vedic time scale. Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. One can attain highest perfection even by a little bit attachment to a sadhu, little bit association with a sadhu. Why? Because it is said in English, you tell me who is your friend, I'll tell you who you are. If you send your child to associate with a smoker, your child will also become a smoker. If you want your child to get good marks, the only thing you have to do is you have to just put your child among those children who are studying nicely. That's all. Because the qualities automatically transfer from the other person. If you associate with a good person, you'll also become good. If you associate with a bad person, you'll also become bad. Say for example, you are moving around with a smoker, definitely either today or tomorrow, you also start smoking. It is for sure. It is said in Hindi, Jaisa Sang, Vaisa Rang. The birds of the same feathers flock together. So that is why we have to be very intelligent in choosing what is our association, who is our friend. The best association what we can have is to associate with devotees. If you want to become a devotee, we have to associate with devotees. There is no other alternative. We have to associate with sadhus. Now, what is the meaning of a sadhu? Sadhu means one who has got some saintly or sadhu qualities. Because a person is not recognized by the external dress or external features. A person is recognized by the qualities which has got, not by the dress. There are so many people who may wear a sadhu dress but may not have the qualities of a sadhu. Well, there are so many people who may be wearing some pant and shirt, maybe jeans and t-shirt, but still they may be having the qualities of the sadhu. So we should understand a person not by the external features but by the internal qualities. So what are the qualities of a sadhu? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Muni, he tells his mother Devayuti about the qualities of the sadhu. He says, Titikshvaha karunikaha surda sarvadehinam ajata shatraha shanta sadhavaha sadhubhushanaha. He says, Titikshvaha. Titikshvaha means one who is very tolerant. The first and foremost quality of a sadhu is he should be very tolerant. Because the whole world is actually designed in such a way, it creates disturbing circumstances at every step. It is not that the other person is intentionally disturbing you or giving trouble to you. No. The world itself is designed in such a way that it is troublesome for us. So now if we get disturbed because of this, then we are actually lost. Lost the fight. So, sadhu perfectly understands that all the bad things which are happening to me, it is all because of my own bad karma. It is not because of some individual around me. So let me tolerate it. So first and foremost principle which a sadhu accepts in his life is tolerance. Anybody who is very tolerant, can be called a sadhu. In spite of all the disturbing circumstances, distracting things coming in his life, but still he is fixed up in his goal of life, to achieve the goal of life. He is fixed up in his duty. He will not get distracted. That person can be called a sadhu because he is tolerant. He will not give up his duty because of some disturbances. Now the second quality is Titikshvaha Karunikaha. One should be very compassionate. Karunika means compassion. Compassion means what? You just cannot tolerate others' suffering. That is why the sadhus, they undergo so much of trouble just because they would like to give some, they would like to deliver others' suffering. There are so many people in this world who are suffering like anything. Why they are suffering? They are all suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness, lack of knowledge. The only reason for one's suffering is lack of Krishna consciousness. Like you go to a new place and you don't have any knowledge about the place, then you become confused and then a lot of disturbances are there. Like you go into you operate a machine, you don't know about anything about it, then you will be confused and then disturbed. So confusion and disturbance is because of lack of knowledge. So when you have knowledge, there is no disturbance. So why everybody in this world is disturbed? Because lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So the sadhu, he knows this, that people are suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. So he tries to preach Krishna consciousness in spite of all the difficulties, but still he's very compassionately, he's trying to give Krishna consciousness to others. This is the second quality of a sadhu. Titikshvaha karunikaha. Surudas sarvadehinam. Surudha sarvadehinam. Sarvadehinam means towards everybody. Surudha, he's a friend. And ajata shatravaha, he doesn't have an enemy. He is a friend to everybody and he doesn't have an enemy. Like on the material platform, people always have, he is my friend, he is my enemy. After some time, the enemy becomes your friend and the friend becomes your enemy. Many times it so happens that you find in the political scenario that somebody belongs to say, this party ki jai, and he'll be raising the flag. And next year you'll find he'll be raising the flag for another party. Right, last year you fought with him and you criticized him from the stage. What happened? That is called material level. in the middle platform, nobody is your friend. Because as long as other person gives you some benefit, you consider him to be a friend. Like somebody is treating you as a friend. Oh, he is my friend. Why? Because we smoke together. Oh, because we drink together. We do perform sin together. That is why we call each other's friend. Now, this is not the platform of being a friend. Two people do the same wrong thing together, that doesn't make the two people friends. Actually, they are enemy to each other. Like two people sit together and smoke, what does it mean? That means each one is enemy to other. Actually, they are not friends. They are actually each enemies of each other. Sadhu is a friend of everybody because he knows what is the real benefit for everybody. The real benefit is only Krishna consciousness. That is why he works very hard to give Krishna consciousness to others. That is why he is a friend of everybody. Surdas Sarvadehnam. And he doesn't envy anybody. There is no enviousness in his heart. So he doesn't have any enemies. Enviousness and enemy both go together. We develop enemies because of our enviousness. A sadhu never has any enemy because he doesn't envy anybody. That is the reason. And Ajata Shatra Shanta, and he's very peaceful. Why? Because a sadhu never has any material desires. People are in anxiety because of material desires. The more a person has material desires, the more he'll be in anxiety. The lesser you have the material desires, the more peaceful you are. So sadhu doesn't have any material desires at all. That is why he is very peaceful. Adashatvaha shantaha. Sadhavaha sadhubhushana. Sadhavaha means he conducts his life exactly according to the scriptures. Whatever the scriptures say, exactly according to that he will conduct his life. You don't have to read the scriptures if you are watching the life of a sadhu. He is actually watching scriptures. So these are the six qualities of a sadhu. And sadhavaha sadhubhushanaha. So, Kapil Muni says, these are the sadhu bhushana. Bhushana means ornaments. By wearing ornaments, we become very beautiful. But, suppose somebody is intrinsically, by basically ugly, even though you put so many ornaments, after some time, even though you put so much of makeup, it will not last long. So, though they are also wonderful qualities, but still these are ornaments only. But still there is one more very intrinsic and a very important quality, that is the internal quality of a sadhu. Regarding that, he says, Kapil Muni says, that tektva sarva karmanas tektva sujara bhandava madarte. The internal quality of a sadhu is that he is willing to give up anything for the sake of Krishna. That is the quality of a sadhu. That is the intrinsic quality of a sadhu. Other things are external qualities. Of course, they all should be there. At the same time, the internal quality should also be developed. What is that? That is, for the sake of Krishna, for Krishna, he is willing to give up anything. Like, how do you understand the other person loves you? There is a simple test by which you can measure how much the other person loves you is, how much that person is willing to give up things which he likes for your sake. That is the only measure. He likes some things and for your sake that person is willing to give up. So that is a measure of one's love towards others. So a sadhu means one who loves Krishna. So if he really loves Krishna, then he should be willing to give up anything for the sake of Krishna. Like those of you who have been coming for the past few days and also were coming for the past few months every Sunday. So many things could have been done during that time. In this past 1 week, every day, 2 hours, you could have watched movie. You could have gone to some shopping. You could have gossiped. And you could have gone to a restaurant. And you could have just gone to sleep. So many things could have been done. You could have spent more time in your business and got more money. All these things could have been done in these days. They are all very dear to you also. But still, for the sake of Krishna, you gave up something. So that is the quality of a sadhu. So, after understanding the quality of a sadhu, we should know how to associate with a sadhu. Now, in the words which he quoted in regarding sadhu sangha, lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Lava Matra Sadhusanga means even a little bit of attachment or association devotee can transform a heart of a person. How can this be possible? Even a little bit, even a 1 second association with sadhu, how is it possible? There is a story in the Bhagavatam. Story of a hunter named Nrgari. He was a very cruel hunter. And one day Narad Muni, you know the great sage Narad, he was walking in the forest and he saw some animals were half killed. And then he went into the bushes and these few animals which were hiding there, they all ran away. And a cruel raking Murgari, he was shouting, "Who drove away all my animals?" As soon as he saw Narada, such an exalted personality, his aura and personality had such an influence on Murgari, that Murgari, he bowed down. And Narada told him, "Why are you killing these animals? That too, half killing these animals." Murgari told, "It is my father who has taught me all this. And if at all you want to kill, why don't you kill them completely? Why are you killing them, half killing them?" Nrgari told, "When I see these animals struggling for their life, and blood coming out of their body, I see them in pain and I feel a lot of pleasure. I take a lot of pressure out of seeing this." Then Narada told that this is going to give you a lot of sinful reactions. So you'll incur sin. Then Nrgari told, "What should I do?" Then Narada told, "You should give up this." Then Nrgari told, "How can I sustain my life?" Narada told, "Don't worry. I'll make sure that you'll get whatever is required for your living, but give up this sinful activity." Then Nrgari thought, a saintly person is telling something, so let me hear and try to experiment. So he gave up his hunting, and then he converted into house into a nice bhajan kutir. Then with his wife and children, he started doing bhajan. And then all the villagers came to know that this cruel Nrgari has given up hunting and he has taken up Krishna consciousness. Let us go there and meet him. So they saw that Nrgari is doing bhajan and he is worshipping Krishna. Then people felt very compassionate and they brought many, many gifts to him. Somebody brought rice, somebody brought dal. Nrgari thought, "What's happening? Many people are bringing so many things to such an extent that, you know, it's more than enough for our family. It is more than what we require." So what he did was, whatever he got, he started cooking them and offered to Krishna and started distributing to everybody as Krishna Prasad. Then more people started taking up Krishna consciousness. More people started coming. They thought, "Oh, when we go to Murgari's place, we not only get nice darshan, not only get nice wonderful bhajan, not only we can hear about Krishna, we also get Krishna Prasadam. Let us go." When people came to know there is prasadam distribution going on, then more people came and then more people started contributing. In this way, in the jungle, Nrgari started in ISKCON center there. And gradually as time went by, after a few months, Narada came there. Narada along with his friend Parvat Muni were walking through that area. And Narada remembered, "Oh, in this place one of my disciples stays." So Narada and Parvat Muni was walking towards Nrgari's ashram. So far, Nrgari saw his spiritual master Narada coming, he straight away started running towards Narada. And then Nrgari paid obeisances to Narada. While he was doing obeisances, Nrgari was doing something strange. Narada asked, "Hey, what are you doing, Nrgari?" "Down." Then Nrgari told, "There were some ants there. So when I paid obeisances, I wanted to make sure that they should not be killed. So I'm just trying to avoid them." Now just see, the same Nrgari, few months back, he was taking so much of pleasure seeing the animals dying. So, a moment's association with sadhu can transform the heart of a person. Like Prabhupada, in the recent days, we find the founder Acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 69, when people want to lead a retired life, not only that, they would not even properly walk also, properly do or their bodily activities. At that time, at the age of 69, Srila Prabhupada took a vow that I am going to go to America and start this worldwide movement. At the age of 69, Srila Prabhupada was actually longing. When will I preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world? Because his guru, His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has instructed Prabhupada to preach Krishna consciousness in the West. He is preparing so much, he tried so much to preach in India, but nobody was willing to take up this science of Bhagavad Gita. Everybody respected the sadhu. As a sadhu, he was invited into everybody's house. They washed his feet, did everything. They were giving even charity to him, but not willing to listen to him. Not willing to hear anything from him. So, so-called religious people were, so many people, so many religious people were in India, but nobody to really accept the science of Krishna consciousness, science of spirituality. So, Srila Prabhupada, he met Srimati Murarji. Srimati Murarji, Prabhupada met in Kurukshetra and asked her help that I want to go to America, please sir, help me. Srimati Murarji at that time, she was a chairman of this India Steam Shipping Company. That was the biggest shipping company during that time. Later on, many other companies came into being. At that time, she was the chairman of the company. So Prabhupada came to meet her in the Sindhya house. And still you will find in VT, the Sindhya house is there. So there, he was sitting on the stairs to get an appointment from her. Whole day he was sitting on the stairs to just get a few minutes of appointment. And she was so busy that she could not give an appointment. In the evening, the secretary told, a sadhu is waiting for you for the whole day. Why don't you just give an audience to him? She called him inside. Prabhupada went. And then Prabhupada told, I want to go to America to preach Krishna consciousness. Give me a ticket to America on your ship. Then she told, Swamiji, America is very cold and you are very old. That means it is dangerous for your life. Why you want to risk your life? You are a very old man. America is a very cold place. Then Prabhupada told, I know that America is very cold and I am very old. But you should know that I am bold also. She did not have further words. She told, okay, take your tickets. So she gave a ticket to go to America in one of the ships, in a cargo ship. A cargo ship, up to 12 passengers are allowed. That's called a cargo ship. So Prabhupada got into the ship, the ship named Jaladuta. So it crossed, about to reach the Suez Canal. At that time, two consecutive nights, Srila Prabhupada had heart attack. And the third night, he was praying, if this heart attack comes to me now, I'm gone. But on that night, Krishna, along with all the incarnation, he appeared in the dream of Prabhupada in a boat. He was all sitting in a boat and told Prabhupada that I got a special mission to be accomplished through your hands. That is why I am taking you all the way to America. I am there to protect you. Don't worry. And he just told and vanished. The dream god vanished. And then Prabhupada crossed over the Atlantic. I don't know how many of you really have the experience of crossing the Atlantic, not by the flight on the ship. Even able-bodied seamen would really get seasick. It's such a rough sea. I have the experience of seeing so many people, so many young people and experienced captains, they are completely flat on the ship. They cannot even eat properly. So much of vomiting goes on. But this old man, 69 years old, he crossed over the Atlantic and then reached America. When he saw the place, it was completely full of Rajas and Tamas. So much of passion and ignorance. No, who will hear from him about Krishna? Everybody is into intoxication, illicit sex, gambling and so many other illicit activities, meat eating and all. Then Prabhupada thought, oh Krishna, if you have brought me all the way from India to this place, there is some purpose behind. So please give me the strength so that I can speak something which can influence them to take up Krishna consciousness. He just had a pair of kartals. This is called kartals. At the time when Prabhupada went, he did not even have a mridangam to play. This pair of kartals, he was sitting under one tree in one park called Tomkinson Square Park. So under the park, under the tree in the park, he started playing the Hare kartals and started singing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Seeing this old man, a sadhu, singing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, in the park, in a whole place called Brori, is actually full of drug addicts, full of hippies. At that time, America was full of hippie culture. Hippie culture means just take drugs and then make your life happy. That's all. That is their culture. Somehow they were all musicians. When they see and saw this old man playing kartals, few young boys and girls, they started coming to Prabhupada and they started dancing according to the tunes Prabhupada was singing. And a pure devotee chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The sound was so powerful that it entered not only, it entered the hearts of the people. It entered the hearts of the people and the hearts got purified. The sound entered through the ears and entered the heart. The heart got purified. So gradually these young boys and girls, they gave up intoxication and all the sinful activities. And they liked Srila Prabhupada so much that whatever he told, that was a law for them. So in this way, they dedicated their life. And the same people who are eating cow meat, those who are intoxicating, now they are the sannyasis and they are preaching Krishna consciousness and Bhagavad Gita around the world. That shows that Srila Prabhupada, with his moment's association, he converted many mrugaris. Narada could do one, but Prabhupada did many mrugaris and then took up Krishna consciousness. In this way, Sadhu Sangha is most important and very effective. Now, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, provides a very practical method of how to associate with a sadhu. Now, there are three levels of Sadhu Sangha. The first level is to associate with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has written so many wonderful books on Krishna consciousness, which are so easy to understand. There are so many small books also. They all can be taken. And then by reading Srila Prabhupada books, actually one is associating with Prabhupada. That is the first level of association. Because the first kind of sadhu sangha is to associate with the topmost sadhu, that is Srila Prabhupada, by reading his books. And also accepting his mood, that is to preach Krishna consciousness. Support Krishna consciousness. Bring one more person to Krishna. Give Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or one more book to other person so that he can come closer to Krishna. In this way, we can always be with Prabhupada. Even though we are so much in this contaminated material world, if Prabhupada is next to us, then actually no contamination can enter. No vice or no kind of disturbance can enter us. So that is why we find there are so many preachers of Krishna consciousness. They risk so much. Why? Because they know that Prabhupada is there. He can take us. And he can protect us in all circumstances. This is one. Number two, we have the second level of association. There are so many devotees of this movement who are very advanced and who are well read in the scriptures. And they are very experienced in devotional service. They can guide others in Krishna consciousness. So one has to associate with such sadhus. At least once a week, they should visit the same temple. Or at least they should come to the local satsang programs and then associate with the advanced sadhu, by which one can develop the understanding, better understanding of Krishna consciousness, and not only develop better understanding of Krishna consciousness, but also take guidance in your personal life, how to execute the principles of devotional service. So this is the second level of association with the sadhu. That is why ISKCON centers around the world, including the center which is very close to you, that is in Mira Road, which is just a half an hour's drive from here. It provides a very practical method of associating with sadhus. We have a program every Sunday in the temple from 12:30 to 2:30, where advanced devotees from different parts of the world, they would come and then give lectures on Krishna consciousness. So Sunday is a holiday, so we can make it spiritual by coming to the temple and associating with devotees. There will be a nice, wonderful lecture. There will be kirtans and then there will be prasadam for everybody. So in this way, one can associate with advanced sadhus by coming to the temple at least once a week. And one can also come to the local satsang program. It's a great fortune that in this area, you have the satsang program already going on. And this place is going to the venue for the next from next Sunday onwards, where you all can come and then associate with Srila Prabhupada's devotees and so many other wonderful
devotees will be also coming and giving delivering lectures on Krishna consciousness. And the third level of sadhu sangha is as important as the first two levels. The third level of sadhu sangha is to associate with those sadhus who are not in the dress of a sadhu, who are not wearing the dress of a sadhu. They will be wearing some pant and shirt. They will be doing their own business. They may be even working in some companies. But still they are also sadhus because they are also pursuing Krishna consciousness. They also are very much advanced in Krishna consciousness. So that level of sadhu sangha is also very much important because they are also struggling to progress in Krishna consciousness in spite of all the material responsibilities. Like sadhus, they don't have much of material responsibilities. So you may say, oh, I cannot be like them. But you should have an idol. Like for example, me, myself, I cannot be an idol for you all because there is a distinct difference. I don't have any material responsibilities. You have a lot of material responsibilities. Like there are some devotees living in this area who are organizing this program, who are working very hard to bring people towards Krishna. They are actually your idol because they not only have material responsibilities to perform, but also have the spiritual responsibilities. They also are performing spiritual activities. So you should consider them to be their ideal, your ideal, and also do what they are doing. You may not be exactly copying my lifestyle, but exactly you can copy their lifestyle and then perform Krishna consciousness in your homes. Whatever problems which as a sadhu, as a renunciant, I cannot understand and solve, can be solved by them because they are in the same boat as you are living. So association with them is actually as important as association with other sadhus and Srila Prabhupada. So there are so many devotees in different parts of Bombay. Wherever you are from, you can associate with advanced devotees and then progress in spiritual life.